from KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, the commercial clam diggers who died last week in Cook Inlet apparently overloaded their skiff. We've got an update on the Togiak herring fishery, and Alaska's fishiest artist is recognized. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Alaska State Troopers say the 22-foot skiff carrying five commercial clam diggers who died in Cook Inlet last week was overloaded and swamped because of rough seas and strong winds. The troopers also said that only one of the five who died was wearing a life jacket. Originally, authorities said three had life jackets on. The men worked for Pacific Alaska Shellfish, which is owned by Oregon-based Pacific Seafoods Group. One man, 42-year-old Noel Garcia of Aberdeen, Washington, survived because he decided to walk from the harvesting spot back to camp. When Garcia reached the camp and noticed his co-workers had not yet arrived, he and others looked for them, soon finding one of the bodies. The dead were identified as 42-year-old Roberto Ramirez, 34-year-old Jose Sandoval, 36-year-old Avelino Garcia, 24-year-old Jose Rivera, and 31-year-old Ramon Valdiva. They hailed from Oregon and California. Shannon McCarthy, speaking for Pacific Alaska Shellfish, said this week that the company is working with the Coast Guard on a number of safety actions for the future, and she says waterproof marine VHF radios will be provided to the clam diggers. Until then, she says they will be told not to use the skiffs. McCarthy says other measures include online job training to be developed specifically for clam diggers and cold water survival training. The Togiak Sacro herring fishery is still chugging along despite inclement weather and the decision by three of the processors to quit buying fish. KDLG's Mike Mason has the details.
The recent windy weather in the Bristol Bay region has slowed the efforts by the remaining fishermen to harvest the last of the 2011 harvest quota. The Perth Seine fishery was closed last week after fishermen harvested a total of 16.7 thousand tons of herring. That's short of the Perth Seine quota of 17.3 thousand tons. The Perth Seine fishery opened on May the 8th and it closed on the 19th, and the average size of the herring harvested by the Perth Seiners came in at 356 grams with an average roe content of 10.2%. While the Perth Seine fishery may be closed, the gillnet fishery remains open until the fishermen harvest the rest of their quota or quit. By regulation, the herring season in Togiak ends at the end of the month. Tim Sands is the ADF&G area management biologist for the Togiak District. He says the weather Friday dramatically reduced the commercial harvest by the gillnet fleet down to just 94 tons, but harvest rebounded to 337 tons Saturday and 446 tons on Sunday. Sands notes that the gillnetters have 2.5 thousand tons left on their quota.
They have the time and they have the fish. It's just whether the weather and the fish will persist.
Through Sunday, the average weight of the herring harvested by the gillnet fleet was 430 grams, and the average roe content was 11.8%. Apparently, the seafood processors North Pacific Seafoods, Leader Creek, and Yardarm Knot have all quit buying herring, but Icicle, Trident, and Snowpack are still buying and processing herring. Sand says it appears the processing capacity still exists to process whatever the gillnetters harvest over the next few days.
You know, we had 2,300 tons of daily capacity, so split that in half, and you still have over 1,000 tons of daily capacity. Like I said, they only caught 446 tons yesterday.
At one point, there were around 23 gillnet vessels participating in the Togiak Sacro herring fishery, but Sand says that figure is down to between 15 to 20.
Just because one company pulls out doesn't mean their gillnetters have to quit. I think at this point in the season, the remaining buyers there would take fish from anybody. But clearly some people are not staying.
The harvest by the gillnet fleet peaked on May 16th when the fleet harvested 916 tons of herring, but the fleet has also had some down days, including no recorded harvest on May 14th due to the weather. One thing for sure is that the commercial quality herring will not last forever, and Sands confirms that he's received reports of both good and bad fishing. So far, no one is confirming price this year, but the speculation is somewhere between $75 to $100 a ton, but most of that will be figured out post-season. Sands says the specifics of this year's fishery might impact the way the 2012 fishery shapes up.
I know in the past, I don't know if it was 2007 or 2005, but there was a year where we had a 20-plus thousand quota, and the processors, because of the market, you know, there was only five, I think, processors that participated and basically came with limited goals. And preseason, we knew they were only going to take about 16,000 tons of a 20-something thousand ton quota. So from what I've heard, that is a not unlikely scenario for next year.
Through Sunday, the total harvest in the Togiak Sacro herring fishery stood at 21.6 thousand tons, and the total quota is 24.8 thousand tons. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.
A unique partnership in Nome is benefiting the local women's shelter there. CU Alaska Corporation, which fishes the Bering Sea crabber Aleutian No. 1, gave 25% ownership of the boat to the Bering Sea Women's Group, and it recently distributed $37,000 to the Nome Women's Shelter. CU Alaska is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation, one of six community development quota groups in Alaska. John Eccles is the president and CEO of CU Alaska. He says the gift was a practical move by the company.
For tax purposes, it was beneficial for us to only be a 50% owner in the vessel. And after discussion and talking things through, the boards of NSEDC and CU decided that they would like to sell 25% to the captains of the vessel and then give 25% to an organization in our region, which is, of course, you know, part of the purpose of NSEDC. And then it was finally decided that the women's group was a good choice, and the women's group said that they would accept it, and that's really the basis of it.
Since they received 25% ownership of the Aleutian No. 1, the Bering Sea Women's Group has received over $47,000 in profits. Eccles says the ownership stake in the boat should mean money every year for the women's group.
Crabbing can be a fickle business and, you know, markets change, etc., but we certainly hope that we'll be able to provide them with a distribution of at least some amount every year, and I know it's very welcome for them.
Bering Sea Women's Group Executive Director Samaria Ross said the partnership and the income it provides is coming at a crucial time when other funding sources, such as private donations, are harder to come by. She also said the weakened economy is causing more stress in families, creating more need for her organization's services. The women's group will use the majority of the money for flying abuse victims into Nome from surrounding villages. The Aleutian No. 1 is homeported in Dutch Harbor and mostly fishes golden king crab and some opelio.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is supported in part by ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, and by
the Pebble Partnership, pursuing jobs and opportunities for Southwest Alaska. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
Small crowd gathered at Fisherman's Memorial Park in Petersburg Sunday afternoon for the town's annual Blessing of the Fleet. It's a community tradition to celebrate the new fishing season and remember lost loved ones. Matt Lichtenstein gathered some of the sounds and voices for this audio snapshot of the annual event.
Reverend sirs, we have come to this blessing of the fleet to offer the work of the fishermen to God's service. To
ask His blessing. Eternal Father, strong to save, whose heart has found the restless.
I'm Grant Trask, just for the moment, a few more moments, owner of the troller Hazel B. And I've been part of the blessing of the fleet service, I think, for quite a few years. I think it's a wonderful tradition to keep up in our community, part of an activity that I'm sure is anywhere where there's salt water and a commercial fishing fleet. We ask God's blessing for each of us as individuals to keep us safe, keep our hearts and our minds pure, and taking care of the resource, and taking care of one another, and taking care of our boats.
Holy Father, creators of the universe, you have given the seas and the life they contain for use and benefit of all your people. Protect our fishermen during this season, this fishing season. Grant them bountiful catches.
Hi, I'm Roxy Lee, and we've had the blessing of the fleet quite a few years now. We used to be more down in the Middle Harbor, and now we have this wonderful place here at the Sons of Norway. And it just is, it's a prayerful send-off for the fleet.
O Trinity of love and power, O travelers guard in danger's hour from wrong.
From the time
salt air, and for the spark of the sun upon the waves.
Thanks be to you, O Lord.
For the cry of the gull and the eagle and the graceful beauty of their flight.
Thanks be to you, O Lord.
For the sound of the horn in the fog and for the sight of the harbor lights at night.
Summer Baxter, and I just think it's a good reminder to everybody to keep all our fishermen families, and a lot of us are related, and or we know somebody who's been lost, and so it's a good reminder at the beginning of the season to keep them in our thoughts and prayers, and, you know, good start to the season for sure.
Godspeed the boats, their nets and their lines,
their tackle and gear, their captains and crew. The Jacob T., Cinnamon Girl.
Merciful Lord, hear the prayers of your people, and with your right hand bless the boats of these fishermen and all who voyage therein. Stretch forth your hand to be their protection as you did for Peter.
Now in spring they homeward fly to the land where sunlight beams into my childhood dreams. Greet my dear old.
Lee Rasmussen Foundation last week named Ketchikan resident and renowned fish artist Ray Troll as its 2011 Distinguished Artist. Foundation doled out 30 project awards and artist fellowship grants to artists from throughout the state at its annual award ceremony in Anchorage. The highest award went to Troll, who also took home with the award a $25,000 check from the foundation. Rasmussen Foundation President Diane Kaplan presented Troll with the award.
It is my great pleasure to introduce the 2011 Rasmussen Foundation Distinguished Artist, a fossil apostle, anthropod demigod, the ichthy artist himself, the man who revealed to the world the true Da Vinci cod, Ray Troll.
Kaplan says Troll is one of Alaska's most widely known and renowned artists.
His wildly imaginative work combines serious scientific study, a unique artistic aesthetic, and a love of cheeseburgers for a style that is unmistakably his own. He is an Alaskan ambassador to the world. He has mounted 4 nationally touring exhibits, published 6 books, and has received dozens of commissions. Most recently, he was co-awarded a Guggenheim Fellowship in the category of scientific writing for a new book that will describe the ancient past of the western edge of North America from Baja to Barrow.
Troll says he was blown away when he received the call informing him that he had been chosen as the foundation's Distinguished Artist for the year.
I happened to be sitting in my kitchen at the time with a room full of musicians, so needless to say, it's been pretty hard to keep this under my hat for the last few weeks. I did one of the classic, what?
Troll commended the foundation for all the work it does around the state, particularly in support of the arts.
They go right to the source of creativity. They go right to the artists. There aren't any bureaucrats, administrators. It's just right to the artists. And they lend their support. And few foundations do what they do. And I think we're really lucky here in the state to have an incredible organization like the Rasmussen Foundation.
This is the 8th year the Rasmussen Foundation has funded individual artist awards. They have provided nearly $2 million to 228 active Alaskan artists.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help this week from KDLG's Mike Mason in Dillingham, KFSK's Matt Lichtenstein in Petersburg, and KRBD's Deanna Garrison in Ketchikan. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.